as we're in this series on words, as we are endeavoring to put one foot in front of the other and follow Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. I don't know about you, but I heard something that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but, oh, y'all heard it too? I thought I was the only one that heard that. But words will never hurt me. Now that's a bunch of malarkey. Some of you are like, did you say malarkey? Yeah, I said malarkey. It's like, have I ever heard the pastor say malarkey? No. Have I ever heard a black man say malarkey? No. Hey, your pastor is a reader. I love to read. I love words. I said malarkey, I'll say it again. That's a bunch of malarkey. Because we all know that words leave a mark. This morning, we get to be fortified, we get to be refocused on the mark our words will leave. Words of healing, words of reconciliation, words that tear down. We get to choose this morning. Stacy, do you have a program right there with you? Do me a favor and just come up here and read Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. As Stacy comes to do that, I invite us to hear so that we can just kind of set the table for what we're going to enjoy here in the rest of this time together. Stacy, if you read Proverbs 12 and 18, and Esther, if you would read Ephesians 4, 29 right after her.
And you asked me this when I forgot my reading glasses. So, I'm not sure if I can. Okay, thoughtless words. I can't read. I'm sorry.
No, you're totally fine.
Thoughtless words cut deeply like a thrusting sword. But the speech of the wise is a healing balm.
Yeah. That was with no glasses. Yeah. So we're thinking about that. And then Esther, if you would come and read Ephesians 4 and 29. Let us consider together what kind of mark our words are going to leave.
Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them.
Awesome. Thank you. That was Esther's proud husband, Glendale. He was showing his encouragement through his clap. And we are considering what my words are going to do. What your words are going to do. My words can hurt and divide, for you note takers. My words can hurt and divide. How true this is as we're in the political landscape we're in right now. We see so much of loose words that are hurtful and that bring about division. This is not some exception, but right now there's a lot of focus on what's happening in the world and the opportunity we have to either bless or to curse. I want to read a scripture for us. I want you to look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. It said, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for who?
All
people. For kings and all those in authority. That we may live what? And lives in all godliness and holiness. I am a person who trusts God through prayer. But can I tell you that I miss it right here? There are lots of leaders that I pray for, but Dale, a lot of times, although I'm aware of what's going on, I occasionally pray for the leaders who are in authority to serve us. And there's a correlation in this scripture. It says, pray for them. I urge you. Pray for them so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And I wonder if, is there so much hell because I don't do my part in prayer? I think that some of that blood might be on my hands because you told me what to do, and I do it every once in a while, but I kind of, in some ways, would rather not even deal with it at all. Don't know about it, so I don't have to really pray about it. And so as a local body, as Jesus followers, today might be the day that some of you join me in daily praying for everybody who is in authority to serve us. Because everything that God has for us is good. And yet some things don't happen unless I do my part. He said, Dennis, I'm going to answer the prayer. And then you do the part, Dennis, of making those petitions, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving for all people, especially those kings and all those in authority. And then I'm going to do the part of causing a peaceful and quiet life for you to operate in godliness and holiness. God has a part. I have a part. Lord, I'm sorry I haven't been doing my part. So I just love to be at a church like this because we just do it. So is Matt in here? Is Matt Tableson here? Matt, why don't you come and why don't you lead us in a short prayer of faith in God for our leaders, for those who serve us, for those who are in authority. Let's put it in practice. And so lead us in that moment.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for our words have power, and we thank you for you listen to our prayers. And in this moment, God, we just lift up the leaders, those elected ones, those who are in positions of authority that you have chosen, God. We pray for them and lift them up, and we just surrender all our thoughts, however they may be, however divided our thoughts may be on that, we surrender that to you, God. And in this moment, together we come before you and we say, God, you be the guide, you be the provider, you be the leader, Lord. Father, just as this church comes together and says, I give myself to you. I pray, Lord, that the leaders and those in authority, God, are led by you, God, to say, I give myself to you so that I may serve those who I serve better. Lord, we bless those who lead us, those who are in authority. We thank you for them. And we just continuously pray that you guide them, that they may guide us. And we thank you, God, for your promise that in us praying for them, we live a peaceful, and harmonious life, God, filled with godliness that only you can bring and that only you can introduce to this body. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we love you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Some of you will join me in making an intentional, disciplined, daily effort to ask God to bless those who serve. And that would be a way we can up our game. Aren't you tired of people wanting to talk about stuff that should be prayed about?
Yes.
A lot of people say, no, I don't want to talk about it. Let's pray about that. I don't have nothing for you, but I know who does. If we did a little less talking and a little more praying, we could get some quiet and some peacefulness, right? I know y'all like that like me. I like that, you know. Lord, give me a quiet and peaceful environment. As we move on, check out what Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 has to say about words that can hurt and divide. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Whew. Okay. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Gossip. Oh, wow. Is this one of the ones, I imagine it's something we're all guilty of at points. But is gossip your go-to? When you're dealing in a lot of pain, you know, everybody has a go-to. Like, we come to a service on Sunday or we're involved in different things because we want to follow Jesus Christ. And ultimately, this walk of following him is about saying, I'm not going to follow anything else. So my go-to is Jesus. My go-to is not my shopping addiction, my porn addiction, my gossip addiction, whatever. My addiction is going to be to Jesus Christ. And I just wonder, in here, would you say, you know what, when I'm in pain, when I'm really hurt, I just tear it up. I just tear other people up. I find somebody to just dice up. Because you know, that sin, in some ways, it doesn't look as, it's not as egregious at the onset. You know, because it happens in private places, you know. It can be happening and be pervasive, and we really not know it. It's not like some of the other behavioral things that we can see and address. But I just wonder, you know, some people say, oh, well, you know, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this. Okay, you know, that has its place. But how are your words? How do you treat people when they can't hear you? How do I treat people when they can't hear me? And am I talking about something with someone who is either a part of the problem or solution, who is directly involved with the problem or solution? Or am I talking around it? That's one of those things that you can use to say, oh, wait, this probably goes in gossip because you're neither part of the problem or the solution. I'll just be quiet. Or I'll just pray. So for those of you who think, well, is this the line of something that you can think about? Oh, this has nothing to do with you. Probably shouldn't burden you with it. Then just take a step back. It's like, oh, what were you going to say something about? No, I wasn't. Never mind. I changed my mind. It's all good. And so we get to process, are these words helpful? Or am I just tearing folks down? I grew up with an expression. When someone found out that somebody was talking about them, they would say, they call me everything but a child of God. Call me outside my name. Talking to such and such. What made me think about that as I was just kind of praying through this message today. Knowing contextually for us, the believer, and even if you're not a believer, God has made people, and every single thing that he has made, listen, he's calling it blessed. Who am I to curse it? And dealing with the reality that God loves people with an unconditional love that I cannot stand, who absolutely drive me crazy, that doesn't give me the right to curse him. Because God is not cursing them. He's blessing them. So as I follow Christ, my heart's got to align with a good father. And for those of us within the body of Christ, any of you who are parents or who can recognize those type of feelings of parenting knows it does your heart so good when your kids are getting along together. Can you imagine how good it makes God feel that thing that Marco was sharing? Oh, you know, God's just got to be, oh, that's how my kids are to operate together. And you know it must hurt his heart the same way our heart hurts as parents when our kids are bickering and talking ill of one another. Oh yeah, God, we come to look at you. We're not just coming to talk about our words. We're considering ultimately that what you have blessed, we're going to get in line and we're going to bless it. Thank God that you blessed me when other people would have seen me cursed. When they were speaking against me, you blessed me. And so we join in alignment, get our hearts together, and we say, hey, Lord, I'm going to just follow after you. I don't want my words to hurt and divide. Evil people relish malicious conversation. Proverbs 17 and 4 says, the ears of liars itch for dirty gossip. Evil people relish malicious conversation. The ears of liars itch for dirty gossip. A lot of times we think about the gossip as saying gossip. But we're just as guilty as gossip when we hear it. Am I right? Just as guilty when I hear it as when I see it on social media. It's all the same. You have to be a person who's like, no gossip zone. Don't come bring a mess to me, because you know what I'm going to have you do. I'm going to hold you accountable. Oh, really? Is that how you feel? Well, have you talked to such and such about that? Okay, well, you have X amount of time to do that. Before I call and ask them, hey, such and such let me know they had some problems. Are you guys talking? Some of us just right now, I'm going to become a no-gossip zone. Hey, if you got a problem with mom, you need to go talk to mom. If you got a problem with dad, you go talk to dad. If you got a problem with brother or sister or whoever it is, you need to go talk to them. Some of us today, that might be our stance. Listen, hey, I'm a no-gossip zone. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear about it. And I certainly don't want to say it. We'll move further. My words can hurt and divide. Philippians 2 and 14 says, do everything without complaining and arguing. You know, I'm not a Debbie Downer with somebody who can just, everything's bad. Got to write and complain about everything. Oh, I don't like these new service times. Every word out of their mouth is like, oh, can you just say something that's uplifting? Please. But those words, what they can do is they begin to polarize. It just polarizes. And that's actually not what we want. And then let me get to a better part, because this is getting us. Number two, my words can help and heal. My words can help and heal. The right word at the right time is like a custom-made piece of jewelry. Proverbs 25:11 says. I can think of so many words that have helped and healed me. I remember one time I was just finishing a leadership conference in Florida, and I was in the airport, and I went to that leadership conference by myself, and a gentleman that I didn't know, very distinguished, came up to me and just said to me, the Lord is moving you to Texas. And it was like, wow. Now, he and I had not spoken. We didn't know one another, nothing like that. But I remember sitting there hearing the word that he said, and it just confirmed so much for me, because at one point we had lived here in LA, and I knew something was going on. My wife and I knew that, and we just didn't know what the Lord was saying. And so here I am at an airport, complete stranger, comes up out of the blue and says, the Lord is moving you to Texas. I was like, okay, God, that's pretty obvious. That's like right there. Okay. And then sure enough, weeks later, I would get the invitation to go there. I hadn't talked to anybody about it. It was just one of those things of, I know, Lord, that you're leading somewhere, that this season has ended. And now here comes this guy with an encouraging word, a helpful word, an insightful word to confirm, yeah, God is moving you. And this guy even knew where. I didn't even know. And I just kind of chuckled at him and went on about my business. But I think about those words. I can look across the room and I see people in here who are using words to help one another, to heal one another. A father and mother wrote a letter to their son about his marriage and how to encourage him, how to lift him up. Words that build, words that give life. I think about some folks in here who a few weeks ago said, we're going to renew our wedding vows, our 15-year vows. And they asked me to participate in that. The power of words and words of commitment and words of love and words of, hey, regardless of what we see in this next 15 years, I'm with you. I'm for you. When you just think about all the words you get at just the right time, and then think, oh, I get the opportunity to be that for somebody else. That stuff starts getting real exciting. If you weren't with us last week, we made a big point that behavior modification must come from heart renovation. Behavior modification must come from heart renovation. We don't simply look to just kind of change the exterior of things. We just go right to the source, say, God, hey, clean me up from the inside. Help me see myself, Lord. Help me see where I am. And as you change my heart, my words are going to line up with that. So let's talk about what that can look like. A, believe and receive God's words. Believe and receive God's words. Interesting thing. Belief in our heart versus the thoughts in our thinking. Have you noticed that whenever we are, the scripture would use the term double-minded. Scripture gives, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double, two, meaning I've got this thought and I've got this thought and I haven't landed anywhere. My heart doesn't have a belief position because my mind is battling between options, choices. And so then we reach a place in our life where we say, I'm going to believe what God says about it. I'm deciding to believe what God says. And so that means I'm going to murder all the alternatives. And I'm not going to wobble in doubt anymore because I have killed all of the alternatives. So then what I decide eventually will hit my heart. Come into my heart where I'm able to believe, where all the good stuff starts to happen. Is this making sense? And when I position my heart that way, then I'm able to actually receive. When I hear something, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's hit my heart. Just because we hear it doesn't mean that it has gotten to the place within us that it can make a real difference. It doesn't really happen until I say, well, hey, I've gone around this mountain enough. It's decision-making time. So I'm going to murder all the alternatives, cutting away. I'm going to cut that stuff away, and this is where I'm landing. I made my decision, and then something beautiful happens where it just kind of gets in the heart, and we live from that belief. We're able to actually receive God's words and have meaning and have a sense of clarity be brought into focus for us. So I got to believe and receive God's words. Proverbs 15:4 says, a word of encouragement heals the one who, what? Receives it. A word of encouragement heals the one who receives it. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Receive that rest. You know, as I think about this, how many of you know that it's impossible to count in your mind to the number 20 while you say something completely opposite? So let's just try it real quick. Let's try it real quick. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. And then I want you to begin counting to the number 20. And then I'm going to give you a prompt to say. So in your mind, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now somebody say, I love you. Y'all say it. Did you say it?
Yes.
Did you see what happened? Somebody said, I stopped counting. And this is very important. It might seem so small, but it's very important because in order for me to walk out what God has given me to walk out, sometimes you have to talk to yourself. You literally have to talk out loud. The scripture says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I'm trying to equip us so that when the depression or whatever it is starts knocking, you say, I'm equipped. I know exactly what to do. It's impossible for me to doubt whether or not God is going to come through in my thinking and to speak the truth. They won't go together. It cannot happen. So, Anna, you're brand new wife. Brand new wife. You get this news. There's something of God's word, of his truth, that you have to speak daily aloud. Your ears have to hear your mouth speaking what God has said. Because all of us are hit with conflicting thoughts. But to know, as simple as just speaking, will get the job done. I won't be taken out if I just open up my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My thoughts are not going to get the best of me because I'm going to tell myself what to think. This is what the psalmist said in Psalm 42 and all throughout. He said, so why are you so downcast? He said, put your hope in God. He was talking to himself. Why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. And this is, can you see the implications if we begin to actually just say what's true and what's right, what's honorable, what's pure? Can you imagine how much good we can bring to the world if we would just not let our thoughts get the best of us? How we would be able to grow in our believing and receiving of what God has for us, because I say, I might feel a certain way, but I'm going to say what God has to say about this. I'm going to bless this situation. God, thank you for that miracle you did for that person. I know you're working a miracle for my son Langston right now. You are not a respecter of persons. What you did for one, you'll do for another. But my own ears got to hear me say it. And that just changes things. Oh, it looks like hell right now, but I'm going to keep on walking through this. And I know on the other side, God has got something good for me. Surely goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. One of the best things we can do is preach the gospel to ourselves. Oh, God, he has made you. Jesus died for you, and the Holy Spirit lives within you. Greater are you than he that is in the world. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? No weapon formed will be able to prosper. Darrell, you gave it so well, because God has a good plan to prosper me. He's going to win. So much more we could cover in this. I think we're good.